Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Back in, Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN, joining me now, as he does every single Friday at this time. It's Parker Fleming. Make sure you go subscribe to his free Grizzlies and NBA Draft Substack, Substack Elitist. All monetary support does not go to him. It goes to St. Jude because he's a great A human being on X at Paka underscore Flocka. Make sure you go follow him. Parker, how's it going, brother? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, Gabe. I'm doing pretty good, you know. It's Friday. It's a weekend. It's always great to talk sports with you on the weekend.
Well, of course.
Get out of the week. But
yes, and you feel good about your Ole Miss Rebs. I don't know how you're feeling about your Bills right now from a sports perspective.
Dude, I was actually going to say, with sports right now, it's just like, you know, with Grizzlies, you know, we're just waiting for reinforcements. We're waiting for vibes to get better. And then, you know, the other, like before the Miami Dolphins game, I was driving. I'm like, wait, the trade deadline passed and Brandon Bean didn't do absolutely anything to address a need. Like,
hey, well, he signed Mecole Hardman. Everything's going to be saved now.
Okay, whatever.
Get another wide receiver three or four, you know?
Yeah, and then I'm just ready for the Lane Kiffin Florida stuff to be over as well.
Gosh, I don't know what to think anymore about that, by the way. I think it's possible. It's possible based on what I have heard.
Yeah. Yeah, this is just classic agency stuff, you know. And, you know, I think, too, like with Lane, you know, there's that article from Yahoo Sports where he's kind of ambiguously like, oh, this may be my last chapter, you know, like, and how much of it, like, Ole Miss has been like a big defining part in his family and his journey. But also, too, like at the end of the day, and, you know, he has the whole like, oh, money isn't everything. But then you're just kind of like, then just sign the extension, you know, maybe.
Right.
I don't know. This is a team that has one loss.
But can we at least acknowledge this? There's so many jobs that fit him, even including like in the NFL with the Giants, with Jackson Dart.
Yeah,
like there's just so many. LSU, Auburn. Obviously he won't go to Arkansas, but that would make sense if that he wouldn't do it. I'm just saying. There's just so many jobs out there that make sense for him. Florida.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's just more about, hey, you have immunity at Ole Miss, and if you win a natty, there's a statue of you in front of Vaught Hemingway. Do it at all these other schools, and you're just another coach that's done it.
Right.
So.
Right.
And if you don't perform, then you're going to get fired in 5 years.
It also, what is hilarious to me is watching, like, Ole Miss beat reporters, and they're just doing their job. I'm not, you know, angry at them, but they're asking his son, Knox, oh, you know, what do you think about your dad and all the job openings? And he says, well, he'll visit that after the year. Why are we asking a 16-year-old what he thinks about his dad's job movement? That seems ridiculous. Rivals did that, to be clear.
Yeah, I just need the vibes higher for the sports teams that I follow.
Yes.
That'd be great. I'm glad college basketball is here because, you know me, draft guy. And this freshman class looks so sick.
This freshman class, I'm trying to think. Like, honestly, in a decade, this is the best I've seen. And people are trying to, like, nitpick Darren Peterson and DeBanza. They're trying to do all that. But it's they're awesome.
Dude, it's
Cam
special.
Boozer, Koa Pete.
Caleb Wilson, Mikael Brown.
They're like, ridiculous. They're ridiculous.
Ridiculous, yeah.
And by the way, you did write about your Ole Miss guy, Ilias Camerdine.
Yep,
he's fun. I watched him the other night. You know, he was the reason the Tigers ended up losing that ball game at Ole Miss. But He's fun. He's fun. He's old, though. He's older.
One thing that is actually really fascinating with that is that technically, like, if an NBA team gets an open two-way spot in the middle of the season, they could sign him. Like, he's eligible.
Well, and then we have a bunch of G League guys that are 21 and 22, you know, going back to college. We're the lines are so blurred right now.
Yeah. But, yeah, you know, actually, while we're at it, I really liked Curtis Givens. I thought he had a lot of good moments. I liked how he wanted to guard Carmadine. And, you know, he's a sophomore. He's a local. I think, Penny should definitely keep investing in Curtis Givens.
He's just got to get more efficient on the offensive end.
Yeah. But, you know, sophomore. And, like, I think he can do it, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah. So, yeah, fun game. Hey, fun hoops.
Real quick, I know this is like a overused talking point, you know, especially like in Olympic years. But, like, looking at the influx of foreign players, like, how much is the world catching up to the United States of America?
You know, it's one of those things you can say that, but then you look up at the last few years and you have, like, just through the draft, just through the last year's draft and this year's upcoming class, you still have Cooper Flagg, A.J. DeBonsta, Cam Boozer, Darren Peterson, Mikael Brown, Caleb Wilson, Con Knipple, Dylan Harper, Ace Bailey, Cedric Coward.
Yeah, thank you. I was going to bring it up. Cedric Coward.
There's a – like, yeah, the world's catching up. The world has a lot of awesome talent. I love Nicholas Avadalis at Virginia Tech. Mm-hmm. Virginia has some good international players coming in. And then Michigan's big man, Ademara, as well, from Spain. Like, basketball's in a very good place right now. Yeah. It's at a very good spot.
Yeah, no, real quick before we get into the Grizzlies conversation, there was a foreign superstar that was traded last year, and now the GM that traded him, Nico Harrison, with the Mavs, trading Luka Doncic, he is fired. Help me with the scapegoat allegations, right? He gets fired 9 months after he executes that trade. Of course, he needed a sign off from the Mavs organization, ownership, Patrick Dumont. But I've seen a lot of people go the scapegoat route when they're sort of putting their takes out there. What do you make of that? Because I don't see any of it. I mean, I went yesterday and looked at his pressers from directly after the trade was made, and he took credit for the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, all the reporting out there has been Nico presented this trade to Patrick Dumont, and Patrick Dumont signed off on it. I think there's equal blame because, frankly, and I think, you know, Cuban had, like, I feel like if this was Mark Cuban and Nico Harrison
trade would have never happened
about this, not only would the trade never happen, Nico Harrison would have gotten fired then.
Right. For even suggesting it.
Mark Cuban's the same guy that came out and said that he would divorce his wife before trading Luka Doncic. But it's – and obviously, you know, we're going to be talking about the Grizzlies. I'm going to use this term, Blaine Pie. Different people get a different slice, but I think Nico Harrison deserves a bigger slice of pie than Patrick Dumont on this, even though Patrick Dumont signed off on it. Nico is the one that presented it. Nico is the one that went to a coffee shop mysteriously with Rob Pelinka to talk about a deal. So,
right. And the quotes are pretty open and shut to me.
Yeah.
What he said following the trade. I mean, it's amazing to me that people continue to push that narrative. And I get that Patrick Dumont is not blameless, but he's an owner. He's not going to fire himself. He's not going to sell the team.
Yeah.
But these are the quotes. There's no regrets on the trade. That was from Nico Harrison. He said, "We believe in the move we made." That's from Nico Harrison. Then he even went on to say, "We targeted AD with our philosophy of defense wins championships." It just seems maybe folks don't understand the actual meaning of scapegoat.
Yeah. Can I say like a quick like 30 minutes or 30 second thing on Nico Harrison?
Of course.
That like I hate this happened because there's a good GM in there somewhere. Around Luka, he managed to get Kyrie Irving on a very low value deal. Got PJ Washington, Daniel Gafford. Pulled the plug on that one, the 2023 season that you know, and then they traded back to
the Grant Williams
salary,
the Grant Williams deal. He got out of it.
Yeah, he got out of it with PJ Washington, and then he traded down from 10 to 12 to not only get off salary but to get Derek Lively. Like, he made a lot of good moves, but at the end of the day, when you trade a 25-year-old all-time great in their prime, that's going to get you, and you create that much alienation with your fan base, and that's going to get you canned, you know?
No doubt. Yeah. No doubt about it. I just don't get the people feeling sorry for him. And also, they're the same people when the trade was made that were just going after him incessantly. It's strange. It's strange. Yeah. Now, to the Grizzlies, Cedric Coward. It's for real now. It's for real now. I mean, the guy is awesome. He affects ball games in more ways than one. The three-point shooting's been solid. Slowed down as of late. I think he was 1-for-6 last time out. But when you look at the rest of the rookies in this class and who could win Rookie of the Year, Cedric Coward, where do you have him at this moment?
Definitely near the top. I've always been a Cooper Flagg fan, since, you know, he was at Mount Verde. But, I mean, he's not the Rookie of the Year right now. And I think I would have – if I had a ballot, I would have Cedric Coward ahead of him, no bias at all. But, no, Cedric Coward, the thing that is very interesting, you know, I've talked to different people that follow the Grizzlies, and the thing that's really fascinating about Cedric Coward is that, yeah, you know, the last few games, shooting hasn't been well. But it's not one of those things where it's like – it's not he's playing bad. It's that he's missing shots because there are so many different ways he's affecting the game. He, like, pretty much alleviates Jaren Jackson Jr.'s rebounding woes with his rebounding. I mean, with him and Edie on the floor, that the Grizzlies' advantage in the possessions game is going to be, like, big time. And then, you know, the thing that popped out to me is, you know, I read the rookie ladder thing, and, you know, I try not to look at the stats every single day because right now it's small sample theater, but like Cedric Coward's averaging 3 assists a game. And, you know, when you watch the film, it's like he's making really good reads, but also too, he's processing the game quickly. And, you know, I've said it multiple times, but the thing that really intrigues me in the fact that I don't think the Grizzlies have had a guy like this maybe since like Kyle Anderson, where he's like role versatile. Like, we've had guys that they can guard different positions, but it's not like one of those things like, oh, okay, he's going to guard this primary on this possession, then he's going to be on the low side, he's going to be a weak side, or he's going to be a low side rim protector, he's going to blow up passing lanes, he's going to guard, oh, he's guarding this guard, okay, next possession he's going to be guarding their four, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, he's really, like, he's very, very versatile defensively, not just with his positional versatility, but also his role versatility. Again, so many different ways that he can impact the game. We're always seeing, I mean, frankly, if you kind of look at it, he's kind of been the Grizzlies' best player this season.
Yeah.
I don't think that sounds outlandish whatsoever. And
not necessarily a good thing with a rookie, but he has.
Honestly, when you kind of look at it, it's not a good thing because your stars have not played like stars. But it's a bright spot for sure. You know, we don't know. KCP had an elbow injury against Boston. And even Sunday, he was wearing, like, after the game, he was wearing this, like, elbow sleeve. And he goes, oh, yeah, something I've just been dealing with, but, like, I'll get through it. And then I think he kind of had that hit in the middle of the game. And, you know, if – depending on how much time he has to miss, like Cedric Coward may start, and we may roll into Saturday's or tomorrow's game against Cleveland, and the starting five is John Morant, Jalen Wells, Cedric Coward, Jaren Jackson Jr., Zach Edey, and you know that's the lineup for the Grizzlies. That's the lineup right. That is like, okay, this is the ideal world for the Grizzlies to be. And you know, no disrespect to, you know, Jock Landale, who'd been starting, or Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who's been pretty much in pen, at least for the starting lineup, when analyzing the team. But when you're talking about, all right, this is, we're trying to achieve high-end outcomes, that's your starting five right there.
Yeah, are we going to get the same sort of replay of the Marcus Smart, Jalen Wells situation from last year with the KCP Coward situation, where last year Marcus Smart was kind of in pen to start, and then Jalen mm-hmm. Wells showed his ability. Marcus Smart gets hurt. Jalen Wells fills in better, quite frankly, than what Marcus Smart was putting out, and he kept the starting job for the entire year. Do you feel like that's going to replay itself this year?
I believe so, because I just think they will reach a point with the way that he's been playing that Cedric Carroll would just become undeniable. I think the one of the I think probably the better example of it would be Jaren Jackson Jr. and JaMychal Green from the 2018-19 season. JaMychal Green was starting until he broke his jaw within the first week of the season, and then Jaren Jackson Jr. started and just ran with the starting power forward job just because, you know, he offered higher end outcomes, more talented, with all due respect, and he's the guy that you're investing in, you know? Like, yeah, like the Grizzlies are investing in, if you look at the salary cap sheet, yeah, the Grizzlies are investing in Kentavious Caldwell-Pope because they're paying him $22 million a year, but Cedric Howard is the guy that they traded up to go get, which, by the way, that deal was met with so much weird criticism. Like, oh, why trade up? Why use a first-round pick and two second-round picks to go up against Cedric Howard? Well, for one, now you look at his numbers and what he's been doing. If you just put that number and that profile next to a guy and said he's been playing for 5 years in the league, that guy would be getting offers for like two or three first-round picks. If they were a veteran, but also too, that probably prevented Cedric Howard from being a San Antonio Spur, Oklahoma City Thunder.
Right, which is, so, that's massive. That's big.
Very massive. Yeah. But no, I think, yeah, we will get to a point where I think Cedric Howard might have a strong rip on that starting three spot.
Now, I struggle to even bring this up in this way because Grizzlies need more, and offensively, defensively, I just don't see a redeeming quality outside of Cedric Howard at this particular moment. But Zach Edey and Ty Jerome will be back at some point here soon. Zach Edey quicker. But how much are they going to fix, in your opinion?
I do think they will fix a lot. But let me put an asterisk before I say what will they fix. If the issues are deeper, and if that Laker fiasco with Ja and Isolo is still lingering around, there, it may not be enough. And I think really the thing that kind of opened my eyes to that is that game against Boston. Granted, I don't want to put too much stock in it because you're missing all four point guards between Ja, Ty, Scotty, and Javon Small. You're missing your two best centers with Edey and Clark. You know, you don't want to put too much emphasis on it, but, like, it looked like a team that was directionless and effortless. And that's the part where I'm like, you got to fix that, you know? And maybe you have guys, maybe with Edey and Jerome, you have two guys that are coming back with that hunger to get back on the floor, and they want to get things going in the right direction. Maybe that has a ripple effect, but, like, you know, but all right, my asterisk is done. They're going to fix quite a bit. I'm going to start with Edey just because he's already playing. I wrote about it today on Substack, Elitis. For one, offensive rebounding. The Grizzlies, like, generated, like, they got 9% more offensive rebounds per 100 possessions when Edey was on the floor last year. And they're currently middle of the pack in offensive rebounding. The only player last year that generated more offensive rebounding impact than Zach Edey last year as a rookie was Steven Adams. So, like, and guess what? Offensive rebounding means more possessions. More possessions means more chances to score. More chances to score means less.
We saw that against the Celtics the other night.
Yep. Yeah. So just, yeah, more chances to score, less opportunities for teams to go out and transition against them. That's one. One of the things that kind of stood out to me, the starting lineup's been pretty bad. They're in the zeroth percentile in offensive rating. And a lot of that has been the shooting from the perimeter, but also, too, with the pick and roll, teams just don't respect Jock Landale in the pick and roll. And that's, again, no indictment on Jock Landale. He's just, you know, he doesn't have that same roll gravity as most starting centers do. But Zach Edey was the most efficient pick and roll player last year among those with, like, pretty high volume. Like, teams have to, like, consider, oh, there's a 7-4 guy rolling down the lane that's just going to catch and finish. So it's like, okay, we can't blitz Ja because he's just going to find Edey for an open dunk. Or if, you know, if a perimeter defender comes and tags, okay, it has to spray out to a shooter, whether that's Wells, Coward, KCP, Jackson, whoever. You know, Wells and KCP have shot a little bit better from three lately.
and Jackson has shot roughly 40% from three. So like, yeah, like that could help, but also could open stuff up for Ja, because just because Edie is, I mean, once Eastlow took over, he was the best at generating screen assists last year. And again, you just have to pay more attention to Edie when he's rolling down the lane, because he's 7'4" and can finish anything at the rim. Like teams maybe have to, like, they can't blitz Ja the same because he's just going to get the ball to Edie. Paint defense, again, just stick replacing a 6'10 center with a 7'4 center for most of your minutes. The Grizzlies are 29th in the NBA in opponent field goal percentage at the rim. I think having a 7'4 guy and allowing Jaren to be back in that rim roamer role will help a lot. And just, yeah, with the starting lineup, just, you know, Zach Lowe said it perfectly on a show when he was talking about the Grizzlies' struggles with Chris Vernon. The Grizzlies, it's Ja, Jaren, and then like 3/5 options. And Edie kind of gives them a little bit more hierarchy, and it may be Coward with him coming to the starting lineup. You now have it where it's like Ja, Jaren, probably Coward is your third option, and then Edie and Wells. Like, it's a clear hierarchy. And like that quartet last year, when you say Ja, Jaren, Wells, Edie without Bane, they were really freaking good last year. So it's not going to fix a lot, but like, it'd be naive to suggest that Zach Edie won't fix anything.
All right. Now the sample size is getting bigger. Grizzlies are 4-9 in the rotation patterns. It does not feel like Tomas Isolo is going to move off of it. Right. So like, just give me your thoughts on Tomas Isolo.
Yeah. I mean, frankly, like, you know, again, I think he should like be a little bit more flexible with the substitution patterns and the rotations. And granted, I was met with a little bit of disapproval.
You know, I saw this. There's this idea that the substitution patterns are the same every single night. Now, I think, you know, in the first quarter when you see Sed and Santi get up at 9 minutes, yes, that's the same. Yeah. But it does fluctuate. Not that I like any of the rotations he's going with or the lineups he's going with, sort of mid-second quarter, early second quarter. But at the same time, it's not the same. It fluctuates. Yeah. None of it's good, though.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I'll point to is, like, I mean, for one, he is playing Ja about 33, 34 minutes a game since that whole deal. But also, too, I think he has gone more hot hand when it comes to the minutes on the wing. You know, I've seen Cam Spencer play 20 something minutes in a night because he's shooting the ball really well and adding value from that perspective. Vince Williams with his activity, obviously Cedric Howard's been getting close to 30 minutes a night. So that means usually Wells or KCP will have to play anywhere between 18 or 22 minutes a night. That's kind of where I see the difference in that, is that he does have a little bit more flexibility with the hot hand. But it's just one of those things that I think I've said it on your show once or twice before, like, and I've said it like in just different conversations and text messages and stuff. Like, if Iso just changed it from, instead of 3 to 4, what if he did 4 to 5 or 5 to 6 minute substitution burst? Would we be still like, that would be my thing.
And I just know, want, in the end of the day, I just want some of these guys to find a rhythm.
Yeah, and you got to find the best way to find them a rhythm. But it's also like one of those things, like, I think the reason why I kind of deflected it a little bit on the timeline the other day is that I think just the reason why they're not winning games is their stars aren't playing like stars. I mean, since Ja Morant came back from suspension, I think I saw Kevin O'Connor say that he has more turnovers than made field goals or something, right? Was it that? Like, more turnovers than made field goals, something like that. But he's not playing like an all-star point guard. Like,
and what's the biggest issue? Is it spacing or is it the lack of Zach Edey and the screen assist? Like, what are we looking at with Ja?
I mean,
and some of it's vibe. Some of it's not buying into the system.
Correct, but like, and Grant, let me just put this out there. Like, I do think Ja can get back to himself and get back to being an all-star point guard, get back to being an all-NBA level point guard, because we have samples that he's done that with, even just within the calendar year. Like, but, you know, because if he didn't get the OKC, like, I felt like he got to his spots and they just wouldn't fall. I mean, a lot of it is just the shooting touch is not there. It's something that, you know, he hasn't improved on. I don't know how much of the improvement element is a developmental arc over the last few years with his shoulder. But and I will say with Ja, one thing that's I'm keeping an eye on is that he is currently in the top five in the league in assist percentage. And he is at his best right now as a playmaker. So it's like, okay, he has something here with his playmaking, his assists, facilitating an offense. Something could be there. It's just all about shots falling down. But yeah, and then Jaren Jackson Jr., against Boston, I would have liked to see a little bit more force against that particular front court. I still think Isolo has to find a way to utilize Jaren Jackson Jr. Because for me, it's not – and granted, we have this confirmation bias as basketball fans and as Memphis Grizzlies fans because we've been so used to seeing, throw the ball down to Zach Randolph in the post or throw the ball to Marc Gasol in the post or, growing up on basketball, it's always like Abdul-Jabbar, it's always Wilt Chamberlain, those guys were – everybody thinks that throwing the ball down the post is an automatic 2 points. I don't think that personally, but people just have this confirmation bias or this hindsight bias that a post bucket is an automatic 2 points. But for me, the best use of Jaren Jackson Jr. is to get him going downhill. Mm-hmm. And let him use his momentum to get a defender off balance and get to that push shot. That's Jaren Jackson Jr. basketball. And they also need more of it. They need more Jaren Jackson Jr. The amount of shot volume that he's gotten, especially for his percentage level, is it's unacceptable, in my opinion. Especially after what we saw last year, we saw, frankly, Jaren Jackson Jr. had one of the best seasons in franchise history last year. And they're just not utilizing him the same. And when you're not getting the most optimal version of your star players from a production level or from a utilization level, especially when you're down this many bodies, because one thing that guys like ED and Ty Jerome offer are margins of error, where it's like, oh, Ja's not playing well, but oh, wait, wow, Ty Jerome is off the bench and he's hit 5 or 6 threes and he has 20 points and 6 assists, or, mm-hmm. We look up and Zach Edey has 15 and 15, which is something he did after Isolo took over. It's margins of error. And right now you just don't have that. So you need that most optimal version of your star players to get where you want to go. And through these first 13 games, you just haven't really gotten that in full substance.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Now, final thing I want to get with you about is, former players airing their frustrations about the Grizzlies organization. We had Marcus Smart earlier this week talking with Clutch Points about how they didn't feel like he was bought in. He doesn't agree with that. And then Dylan Brooks last night, granted he had a great night at the office, and we know that he likes to talk some trash, but he was, 12 for 18, 30-some-odd points. He said the last time that he didn't have confidence in his offensive game was in the Lakers series. The last series he played with the Grizzlies, where Zach Kleiman, walked up and said, "Hey, shoot 6 shots." So, what do you make of former Grizzlies airing their frustrations with the organization?
With Marcus Smart, I will just say, obviously as a player, you're not going to go full out and say, "Yeah, I wasn't bought in." But I never really, aside from Marcus Smart screaming at his teammates from street clothes, I didn't really see much of a buy-in from Marcus Smart. And he had his worst, granted, defensively he was great in Memphis, but offensively, he had his worst performance of it. He had his worst efficiency of his offensive career in Memphis. I don't know. The Marcus Smart thing was kind of weird, but also all right, whatever. But with Dylan, oh God, I love Dylan.
And by the way, Zach Kleiman may have said shoot 6 shots, but I think he shot 11, 13, and 15 in that series.
Yeah. Dylan Brooks shot double the shots that was suggested. But the thing is, let's not have this hindsight 2020. Everybody was furious with Dylan Brooks.
Right.
Me, your producer, Connor, we were going to war for that guy.
Of course.
On the timelines and in the discourse. Everyone was so sick of Dylan Brooks at the end of his time in Memphis. But now since the Grizzlies just, I mean, let's be real, they haven't found the replacement for Dylan Brooks, really, maybe until now with however you want to consider the Brooks and Bane replacement, who's who between Wells and Coward. But, like, Dylan Ditch, he shot them out of that Lakers series.
Yep.
Like, let's not get it twisted. Like,
and the Warriors series the year before, to
yeah,
be clear.
Like, the reason why Zach Kleiman probably had to say something is because Taylor Jenkins just kept telling him to shoot the ball.
Right.
And Dylan Brooks was taking shots away from Jaren Jackson Jr. and Desmond Bane. Like, I love Dylan. He's good.
He didn't accept his role as, like, fourth in line offensively. He just didn't.
And here's the thing. I get it. He was in a situation where he was in a tanking year the first year and in lost season. And third season, there wasn't a hierarchy established yet. It was really just Ja, Jaren, and then whoever else would be the third. And Dylan had that for third and fourth season, and then Bane's leap, and now it's at the end, he just got into an identity crisis because he's always been used to being like, hey, I could take this many shots. I can take this mid-range contested shot. Oh, I could do this. I could do that. And now it's like, hey, we don't need that from you anymore. And it led to an identity crisis, but, like, let's not get it twisted. For one, Dylan didn't take six shots. He actually, I remember he, in that playoff series, he averaged the most wide open threes in the playoffs. He shot five or six wide open threes, and he shot like 30% on them, maybe even fewer. But yeah, silly shots, but I mean, also too, all like media members are trying to get, I mean, granted, Dylan, he'll say something off the top. I remember asking him a question about veterans one time, and he threw shade at Carmelo Anthony and Dwight Howard and DeMarcus Cousins. Like that's just Dylan. But
yeah,
like, with Marcus Smart, it just reeks of, like, people are trying to just dog on Memphis.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
All good in the Grizzlies organization, which, like,
yeah, I was going to say, also part of this is, you know, let's ask Kyle Anderson or De'Anthony Melton or somebody else who's not like actively angry with the organization for being shipped off. You know, these guys are probably angry, but also, you know, part of it, I think it does show Dylan didn't necessarily want to leave Memphis when he did. So it is what it is. But Parker, great stuff. Have a good weekend, and we will talk next week.
Absolutely. We'll talk next week. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. He is Parker Fleming at Paka_Flocka on X. Make sure you go subscribe to his free Grizzlies and NBA draft Substack Elitist. All monetary support goes to St. Jude because he's a grade A human being. Now let's go ahead and grab a break. When we come back, we hop into the Blitz on this Friday on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Now, the biggest stories overloading the line. A bull rush of info. It's Gabe's Blitz on the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
All right, Gabe. Willie Green is on thin ice in New Orleans. There were multiple reports saying that a change was on the way if the Pels didn't win against the Blazers on Wednesday. Of course, they lost. They have stopped announcing his name before the games alongside the starting lineup. He was asked if he chose not to be announced during introductions, and he said no. When asked if he'd prefer an intro, he said, whether they announce me or not, I'm fine with whatever the decision was.
Just, I mean, here's the thing. If there's reports, if they're true, which I don't necessarily believe, early in the season you have to beat the Trailblazers to keep your job. That seems kind of wild. But if those reports are true, that he needed to beat the Trailblazers to keep his job long-term there in New Orleans, just fire him now. You're clearly having thoughts.
Get rid of him. But here's the thing. Like, I don't think Willie Green is a terrible coach. I don't think he's great by any stretch of the imagination. But the New Orleans Pelicans, one, teams that play basketball in that city have never had success. And two, when you look at sort of how they operate, they've given up way too much draft capital. The Hawks trade in this draft was ridiculous. Although Derek Queen is playing well.
Jeremiah Fears is good too.
And Jeremiah Fears as well. But you know, the roster now isn't good enough.
No.
And they've given up picks. So it's like, I don't know what you want the guy to do. Yeah, maybe win a couple more games here and there. Maybe, you know, push for the play-in, whatever. But it's never been a well-constructed roster. It's always been a hodgepodge of solid to good players. But it's been built around Zion, and Zion's constantly off the floor. Mm-hmm. Any coach here, I don't know what you want them to do. I don't know what results you're looking for. But I will say, if the report is true that he had to win that game, you should have fired him already.
Willie Green deserves better. Yeah. I think that Willie Green deserves better.
I don't know how good of a coach he is. I don't think he's awesome by any stretch of the imagination.
I think he is a good coach.
He's fine.
In the worst situation in the NBA. Because like you said, your star player never plays. You have the worst ownership in the league. You have the worst fan base in the league. There's no support for them whatsoever.
They're talking about moving you.
Your roster makes absolutely no sense.
It never has.
You have good players, but they don't fit well together. You have a ton of bigs. Derek Queen and Zion Williamson play the exact same position. It's their roster doesn't make any sense. It's not Willie Green's fault.
And even when it was Jonas and CJ and Zion and B.I., Brandon Ingram,
that team was better.
But the roster didn't make sense.
Well,
when
they didn't have any depth.
Well, and like Brandon Ingram and Zion sort of operated in the same way on the same spots on the floor. CJ's not like a natural point guard.
No.
He's a scoring guard,
yeah.
And you asked him to be a point guard, and then your backup was Devontae Graham there for a while. Like, you just didn't have a good, well-put-together roster. And now you move on to Joe Dumars, who is, you know, I mean, he's tanked teams consistently before.
Accidentally. Not on purpose.
Right.
Yeah, he doesn't do it on purpose. They have a roster where, when you look at it, you have a bona fide number one guy when he's healthy in Zion. Zion can be a number one guy right now, but probably needs to be a number two, but he can be a number one. The rest of your roster is a bunch of dudes who should be like the third or fourth guy on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then right now, like, you're starting DeAndre Jordan in basketball games.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're telling me that it's Willie Green's fault when he has to look at DeAndre Jordan and say, get in that starting lineup. Do you think that DeAndre Jordan, when he signed that contract this season, ever thought he'd play more than 20 minutes in a game?
No, it was supposed to be what Derrick Rose was supposed to be for Ja here in Memphis.
Right,
you have Derrick Queen, you have some young center, you have Eve Misi. He was supposed to bring them along, and now he's starting and having to play extra minutes.
They are a team built of third or fourth guys on really good basketball teams.
They have a trade deadline team,
Jordan
for sure.
Jordan Poole, Trey Murphy, Herb Jones, like you said, Derek Queen, Jeremiah Fears, it's Eve Misi. They have all these guys who would be really good on other teams, but they're forced to. Jose Alvarado, but they're forced to play together.
I will say, though, Derek Queen, I know they traded too much to get him, and the Hawks trade was ridiculous, but he does look like a guy you could potentially build around going into the future. He looks really fun.
That's why they are in a weird spot here where you gave up too much. The trades were stupid. Yes. But you kind of stumbled into, Derek Queen and Jeremiah Fears, really good young players. Trey Murphy, still a good young player. Herb Jones. You should just kind of sell off what you have and just fortify, be bad. But that's the problem, is that they can't, because they don't have any picks.
Maybe blow it up and build around Jeremiah Fears and Derek Queen. But I don't know where they go from here. I don't know if they have a full-on direction. But I will say, firing Willie Green's not going to solve any issues for them.
No.
It just won't. And the idea that he had to beat the Trailblazers, who actively have a better roster and are a better team.
Trailblazers are good.
To keep his job.
Good team.
That's foolish.
Yes.
It's foolish.
The Trailblazers are an actual good basketball team.
If that is true, just fire him now and get it over with. Rip the Band-Aid off.
It's so random that Kevon Looney's on this team, too. God, dude, he has to feel like the biggest whiplash of all time. Going from the Golden State Warriors his entire career to New Orleans.
He got a contract, though.
I know he got a contract.
Money.
But it has to be.
Yeah, for sure.
He must feel like he has.
You felt like you were in the fight every single year, yeah. And now you're just not even.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if things are going well, you know it's
just nuts.
It's going to blow up at some point.
Oof. MLB MVPs were announced last night. Shohei was unanimously the MVP for the NL, and Aaron Judge won it in the AL.
Shohei has four MVPs in 5 years. 2021, 2023, 24, and 25. He's won one in each league, AL and NL. I mean, the guy it's ridiculous. And I think he's got a couple of unanimous, right, at this point.
Shohei?
Yeah.
Probably.
I think this is the second unanimous decision for him to win MVP. The only guy he trails in MVPs won is Barry Bonds, who won seven. So there's that. And he's only been in the league for, what, 5-6 years? Ridiculous. In the AL, I wanted Cal Raleigh to win. I'm not gonna hide that. 60 home runs, record for switch hitter, record for everyday catcher. The guy was awesome this year and helped will his team to a championship series. And they hadn't been there in a long, long time, the Seattle Mariners. So I wanted him to win. But, you know, I have to acknowledge the fact that Aaron Judge is kind of in LeBron, Jordan, Jokic territory. I know I'm crossing sports here, but you could give it to him every year.
You're just numb to it.
The way he's playing it. And I know I usually, like when it comes to Jokic, I usually buck against the idea of fatigue. But, you know, in this situation, you had somebody who was very well deserving. I figured that they would give it to him, Cal Raleigh, but I'm not going to argue. Like Aaron Judge he's unbelievable. He's just so consistent. You know, from a hitting perspective, it seems like he gets better every year. He hit with average this year as well. Like, that's nice. So I'm not going to complain about it, even though I did want to see Kyle Raleigh get that recognition.
Yeah. Shohei's rookie season, by the way, was 2018.
So
those Angels years just.
So 4 and 7 years?
That's pretty good. Not bad.
You think?
Any one rookie of the year. Yeah. So, you know.
And now he's got a couple rings.
I agree with you, though. I wanted it to be Cal Raleigh, but very much like the MVP in the NFL has become a quarterback award, the MVP has become an offense award. That's what it is in baseball. And unfortunately, they don't value the defensive side enough. Because if they did, then Cal Raleigh would have won MVP. What? Because he gave you unbelievable production while also giving you
and catching just about right, every it, day
while giving you legitimate his stats as a catcher were incredible. Aaron Judge plays in right field, but he offset that by having a historic season at
but,
the plate.
But Aaron Judge is a good fielder as well.
No, he's not.
He's all right.
No, he's not.
He's solid.
Aaron Judge is not
but
a good
Cal Raleigh, I mean, was he a Gold Glover this year?
I think he was as close as you could get if he wasn't. Yeah.
All right. Well,
Cal Raleigh was amazing at the end of this year.
I wanted Cal Raleigh to get it, but I...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
I'm not going to argue. I mean, Aaron Judge.
I'm not going to argue it. I'm just saying
he's well deserving.
The reason
this reminds me a bit of Travis Hunter, Ashton Gentry last year for the Heisman. just a bit, where it's like both guys, you could make your case. Both guys are well deserving.
If it was the same, then Cal Raleigh would have won.
Yeah, probably so.
But no, I don't have gripes about Judge winning. Mm-hmm. I knew he would. I said he was going to win. Mm-hmm. It's just I wish that they valued the defense a little bit more, because what he did on defense and on offense,
yep,
I think deserved an MVP. But Judge had a historic season, so I can't argue against it.
Yeah, but setting a record for catcher home runs and switch hitting
nuts
home runs, I mean, it's bonkers. Now let's go ahead and grab a break on that note, and we have one more segment left in the week, and it's time for another edition of Weekend Winners, the picks you don't ask for, but you get anyway. That's on the other side.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.